call it like the Extendo. No, wait, we don't call it that either. What do we call it? Mike Wilner's the host of Blue Jays Baseball here on Sportsnet 590. What do we call it?
Well, it's a very rare thing that we don't have it all that often. I believe it is called Blue Jays Pregame Extra.
That's right.
Such a thing.
You don't do postgame extra. Sometimes, I guess, you'll do postgame extra. A day game that ends super early where you got to get to prime time or something.
Yeah, that can happen occasionally, yeah.
Yeah, okay. There's not a whole lot to talk about Blue Jays this at this point, Mike. That's kind of unfortunate.
Well, we can always talk about the sculpture in front of the Air Canada Center.
Yeah, who would you put out there?
I don't know if I would put a who out there, but I don't...
Put the fans?
I'm not sure why they did that thing.
What do you mean, like the spotlight? You're not sure why those are out there?
It's a sculpture. It's art, I guess.
Oh.
Art is art, so... Oh. So, yeah.
It's going to be sad for that guy when they rip it down.
Yeah, it's kind of funny. I mean, maybe it's a Toronto thing that we don't have statues of our athlete. Like, if you combine, there was never anything at Maple Leaf Gardens. And
no.
Obviously, at the
there
end.
There is. What is that thing statue outside the Hockey Hall of Fame, right? There's some sort of statue outside the Hockey Hall of Fame of hockey guys on a bench. Or
right.
Leaning over the... What is that? I'm trying to think of what that is. That's the only hockey sculpture I can think of in the city.
But it's not a particular person or anything like that.
Yeah.
And the same with, the only statue up is in front of either one of the athletic arenas in this city, or any of the three if you count BMO, is the statue of Ted Rogers.
Well, and also the fan thingies coming out of the
gargoyles at Rogers Center, yeah.
Yeah, the cartoony
cool
people. I like that.
Yeah, so, I mean, maybe the Blue Jays, you could argue that they don't have enough history for something like that, but I don't think that's true at all.
No.
There are tons of people you could put up, and the same thing, it's very obvious. There are a bunch of statues of Maple Leafs that you could put up if you wanted to. Might start with Ted Kennedy or
Dave Keon.
Dave Keon or George Armstrong or something like that. But there doesn't seem to be any push for anything like that in the city.
Yeah, it's sad. Comerica Park in Detroit is one of my favorite ballparks, and it's so easily within range to drive to from Toronto. And you look at the way, and it's hard to compare the Tigers' history to the Blue Jays' history, but... I mean, you got Ty Cobb out there, big statues actually inside the ballpark. Something like that would be pretty cool. They've got about 10 of them inside,
yep.
And then the big statue of the Tiger outside. Something like that would be pretty cool if you were able to put that together at Rogers Center.
Yeah, and, you know, in Atlanta, there's a on the way into the stadium from, like, the outfield, there's statues of Hank Aaron and Phil Negro and a few other guys. And yeah, that is pretty cool, and there's certainly a place to put statues of Roberto Alomar and Joe Carter and Tony Fernandez and stuff like that, if that's something that the Blue Jays are interested in. And the same thing with the Leafs, for those people we mentioned, and even for, you know, the I don't want to say current generation, but the people who've never heard of the three people we mentioned, there's always Doug Gilmore or Wendell Clark, Daryl Sittler, and, you know, people like that.
Yeah, I like statues. I like getting your picture with the statue. That's always a cool thing. Just to make it sort of a destination for tourists to come check out, I think would be a great idea for this city. But I digress, I suppose. Masahiro Tanaka officially on the market as of Thursday, Mike. So 30 days for every team in Major League Baseball to say they're all in, $20 million. I suppose you don't have to bid $20 million, but then you're not going to be in the bidding because he's going to max out naturally. I can't imagine a reason for a team in all of Major League Baseball to not be in on him if all you have to do is say, I'm going to put in a potential $20 million and make an offer, but it's going to take close to $100 million, if not $100 million over 6-7 years to land him. Where are the Blue Jays going to come down on Masahiro Tanaka? The big hitters are going to be in on him, including the Dodgers, including the Yankees, Rangers, I suppose. There's a whole bunch of teams, Cubs too. Where do you think the Blue Jays are going to come down on Masahiro Tanaka?
I don't know that we'll ever know, to be honest, because the Blue Jays don't go more than 5 years on people. And
they
and
said they might push it to six, though, right?
Yeah, I guess they can work it with creative options and things like that. Maybe vesting options to protect yourself. But if you're going to do that, then I'm not sure that a player would necessarily be more interested than he would be in a team that's just willing to give him 7 years. Mm-hmm. and not discuss it. I mean, I'm sure that they can get creative, and I'm sure that if Tanaka wants to come here, then the Blue Jays can they'll definitely make it worth his while. I mean, wherever he signs, he's going to get a crap load of money.
Yeah.
But that's what it comes down to. Yeah, I think you pretty much have to sell the place and the team and outbid some seriously heavy hitters. You didn't mention the Mariners. I think they're going to be very strong.
People saying they're like the favorites now.
They could be. They could be. You know, there's a good tradition of Japanese players having been there and been successful there, and they've got the money. They signed Robinson Cano, so they're making a push right now, and they've got a heck of a pitching staff, and they have to decide, and I guess everybody else does too, but they have to decide if this is if they want to part with a lot of their very good young players in order to get, say, David Price, or a lot of their money in order to get Masahiro Tanaka.
Well, that's the thing. Talking to Mike Wilner, host of Blue Jays Baseball here on Sportsnet 590 The Fan, it's only money. It's easy for me to say. It's not my money, I suppose. And they just spent $5.2 billion of it locking up NHL rights. But you look at the way the Mariners are blowing their brains out, spending all sorts of cash, and it's yet to be seen how that's going to pan out vis-a-vis wins and losses this season. Doesn't usually work out all that well. I mean, the Red Sox a couple of years ago didn't work out well for them, but they won a World Series last year with some of the pieces that were still there, although the big pieces are playing for a Dodgers team that was pretty good last year. If you look at where the Blue Jays sit payroll-wise for last season, $118 million-ish, teams like the White Sox, Rangers, Angels, Giants, Tigers, Red Sox, the Phillies, Dodgers, they all outspent the Blue Jays last season. We know there's so much more money in baseball these days, and you don't have to give up any of your future where this team has given up prospects and deals. Pretty significant ones last year, of course, the R.A. Dickey deal, and then deals with the Marlins as well, who look like they're probably going to be good in a couple years, if not this year. I mean, what is the problem with overspending and knocking that payroll up a little bit, because it's going to save you from having to dip back into that farm system again?
Yeah, I don't think there is a problem with it, and that's something that's often discussed, whether you do one or the other. What's the value of prospects? And this Tanaka thing actually does make it pretty interesting as to what the value of a prospect is, because, he's a guy who would be just going into maybe his third or fourth year, going into arbitration in the major leagues, and instead he's available, and he's available for money, and he's going to be available for a ton of money. And it makes you wonder, well, then what's some other third-year major leaguer worth? And I know he spent 6 years or 6 or 7 years pitching in Japan, but it's a little bit of a different situation. It always seems easier to just spend money than to spend prospects. It really always
Especially
does.
When it's other people's money. It's so well, easy. Yeah. I could spend your money no problem.
If I had any,
I
might let you.
Yeah.
But it's it's always the debate. And that's why so many people wanted the Blue Jays to go so hard on Yu Darvish, because it wasn't going to cost them anything but money.
Yeah.
And this doesn't even cost you a draft pick.
Nope.
Like signing a high-profile free agent would. So it does seem like the smart thing to do is maybe overpay a little bit so that you keep your prospects and your young players.
So,
and I think that the Blue Jays might be interested in doing that, but I think that there are other teams that might be interested in doing that a little bit more.
I wonder, where do you see this payroll going? Because they haven't added anything to it. They signed Deonner Navarro. It's not like they broke the bank doing that. Other than that, they haven't done much payroll-wise this season, so I imagine it's still sitting around $118 million bucks. We heard at the end of last year that they were open to continuing to increase that that number in payroll. Well, where do you think they're willing to go? Are they willing to go to a $158 million bucks, which is around where Boston and Philly was last year?
I think they're willing to go to around 150.
Yeah.
And once you get there, what's 158, right?
Right.
I think it just depends on who's available to spend it on. And whether it's Tanaka, whether it's Irvin Santana, Ubaldo Jimenez, I don't think that the Blue Jays are interested in Matt Garza with his health issues.
Unless his stock completely falls off, which it doesn't appear to be all that high.
Yeah, but I think you'll see some stuff happen once Tanaka signs, or at least once people get weeded out of the Tanaka thing and there's a clearer picture of who's going to sign him. But I do, you know, the Josh Johnson has come off the payroll, so that's $14 million gone. But Brett Cecil's going to get a raise. Colby Rasmus is going to get a raise. Other people are going to get raises, too. So, it's not going up to 150 on its own unless they bring somebody in or multiple somebodies. But you're listening to Alex Anthopoulos the last month, maybe, since the winter meetings started. He's gone back and forth. Some days he says, we're more likely to make a trade than sign a free agent. Some days he says, it's about 50-50. I don't know which we're going to do. It seems like either way will be easier. And some days it's more likely to sign a free agent than make a trade. So the winds are changing constantly. And, you know, I guess opportunities are opening, and doors are closing, and other doors are opening. I don't know quite what they're going to do, but I do know that they're trying to add. They want to add. That nobody has added significant starting pitching yet this winter, and we'll see if they can.
Do you think it's possible that ownership is a little skittish about what Alex Anthopoulos is trying to do this offseason, seeing how everything kind of blew up in his face, all the big moves and all the payroll he added last year, how it didn't work at all, except for at the turnstiles? Definitely worked in that regard because the Blue Jays had a huge increase in attendance. But is it possible that Alex Anthopoulos is going to ownership and they're kind of saying, why should we give you an extra $30 million bucks? You kind of wasted it last offseason. Is there a possibility that that's taking place?
No.
Okay.
No, I mean, I think, you know, it's in for a dime, in for a dollar, as it were, I guess. Ownership understands what happened last year.
Really? Because I don't.
Well, you should. I mean,
What happened? They picked up guys that were supposed to pitch well. They didn't pitch well. What happened? I don't understand why that happened.
Yeah, that's what happened. Well, I'm not saying they understand why it happened, but they understand what happened.
Yeah.
He
put his stock in a bunch of guys that underperformed. That's kind of bad when you're a GM.
Yeah, but they understand. I think that he's not a clairvoyant, and that you can only work off the information that you have. And rather than, you know, I would put it differently than you did. I mean, you say it didn't work out at all, and it didn't last year. But I would say that it hasn't worked out. Rather than it didn't work out.
That's true. I mean, it could easily flip around this year. I'm in that camp.
Yeah, I think it could. So we'll see. Now, if it doesn't, and if they're a last place team again, or if they're terrible again, whether they finish in last or not, then major changes will be made. And I, you know, can't imagine that Alex Anthopoulos will be back to try it again. But but I do think it could very easily flip around, and the guys who were expected to perform could perform next year the way they have for most of their careers.
Yeah, I tend to think that they're fine offensively, and they were fine offensively last year too. They got just some of the worst starting pitching in all of baseball. All right, so let's forget about Tanaka for a second. Among the other guys, specifically Irvin Santana, Ubaldo Jimenez. Jimenez, the walk rate concerns me a little bit, especially how much the fastball has dipped in recent years. He kind of figured it out again last year. But Santana's been, say, for a couple of blips on the radar, pretty consistent performer in the major leagues. Is he somebody you have serious interest in if you're the Blue Jays?
Depending on how he's selling himself, I think you have to. You know, if he's got himself out on the market as a potential number one starter and he wants that kind of money, then I'm not terribly interested. You know, he's a mid to top end rotation guy who is durable and reliable. I mean, the guy pitches, and that's what the Blue Jays really could use, is someone that you know is going to pitch for you innings. And I think he's thrown, 180 innings for the last 5 years, if not 200 innings for the last 5 years.
Yeah.
And he's prone to giving up the home run, which doesn't play well in Toronto for sure.
It doesn't play well anywhere, really. Giving up home runs.
Well, it plays worse in Toronto when you're coming from parks that are easier to pitch in. That's the only caveat with him. But I think that if he's going to demand a reasonable amount of money, which so far he isn't because nobody signed him yet, then he's a really good fit. Ubaldo is someone that a lot of people have loved for a long time, and a lot of
because he has a great name.
Yeah, I'm sure that's it. A lot of people in the Blue Jays organization are big fans of, and he had just a phenomenal season, but kind of in a couple of pieces. Mm-hmm. I mean, he was better in the first half than he was in the second half, by some measures, and better in the second half than he was in the first half by other measures. He had a terrible April, May, and he had an unbelievable September. Did something happen at the end of May that turned his season around the All-Star break that turned his season around, and will he be able to sustain it? You know, this is a guy we all remember that year he was 15-1, but that was 5 years ago now.
Yeah, and he was throwing 99. He's not doing that anymore.
Right, and he hasn't been the same guy yet. He's 2 years removed from a terrible season in 2012. It's actually only 1 year removed from that. So you know, you wonder how many people are buying what he's selling, too. But he's also a guy who has not pitched fewer than 176 innings ever in his major league career. So he's been durable too, but
it's not so great when you're durable making 31 starts with an ERA of 5.4 though, like
exactly.
He was in 2012.
No, that's exactly right. Exactly. And you can't ignore that when you're trying to sign him, when he's looking for, hey, I just had an ERA of 3.30 for a playoff team, but you know, 2 years ago, it was 9-17 with an ERA of 5.5.
Yeah, that's bad. Giving up 190 hits over 176 and two-thirds innings.
Yeah, which isn't so bad.
But then walking 95.
Right. That's a problem. He's still young, and there are reasons for him to believe he can get that five-year, $100-plus million deal, especially with all the money that's out there right now. Santana's older, but he's only had one of those ugly years where Jimenez has had a couple in the last little while. It's interesting because you're talking about seriously a crap load of money and a second round pick to get one of these guys, and you want some sort of assurance of reliability, which is impossible
no such thing.
To get. Right.
In baseball, you can't get it.
It doesn't happen. You can't get in anything.
No.
And that's what makes these things so tough. And it will be very interesting to me to see who gets either one of these guys. And I think the Blue Jays certainly could get either one of them.
Yeah.
How long they sign for and how much they're going to cost.
Yeah. I would be more satisfied with Tanaka, obviously. And I think most people would, but that might be out of the realm of possibility. Michael, we got to run. Thank you very much for this. Enjoy another month and a half, 2 months of off-season before you're back to work every single day.
And then we'll see if maybe next week we'll actually have something to talk about.
That'd be cool. And then you can come on this radio program again.
Cool.
Cool. Thanks, Mike.
All righty.